Good morning. Welcome to church this morning. We're very glad you all have chosen to worship with us today. We especially like to welcome any visitors who are with us today. Anyone looking to join our church family, please visit with either one of our elders or with our pastor. Please remember to sign the registry at the end of each pew and pass it down, and to check your bulletin for announcements. We do have several announcements this morning. First of all, we have two people celebrating birthdays this week, of Jim and Nancy. May we please get a report from Gwen and Tom or Les or Gloria, any of the four, would like to give us a report from the fundraiser last week.
I don't have any numbers, so
yeah. All right, let's go for the fifth. A special thank you goes out to all who have worked so hard on it. Thank you very much. The worship committee will meet Monday at 6 p.m. Jane and David are in Kentucky this week, and they will return on Wednesday evening. If you have any need for assistance, please contact your deacon or an elder. The presbytery will be next week, October 22nd and 23rd, at the Austin Korean Presbyterian Church. On Sunday, November 7th, we will celebrate All Saints Day by putting flowers in the windows to remember our loved ones. Bring small vases with flowers in memory of your family and friends. We will also have a reading of names of those who are born and those who have died this year. So please fill out the form in your bulletin and turn that into the offering plate. And we need to congratulate the band. We're receiving a number one rating at the marching contest. They will advance the area next Saturday in Waco. So good luck there. At this time, I'd like to pass it on.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. O God, you are righteous and right, and right are your judgments. Your instruction is just. It is fixed, firm, and sure.
Your justice is everlasting, and your law is truth. Give me understanding that I may live.
Let us worship God. Let's pray. Righteous one of all generations, how glorious is your name. You speak and words are created. You establish the boundaries of the seas and the land. Your countenance illumines the heaven above us. Your righteousness is known throughout all the earth. We live by your mercy and depend on your blessings. We give you praise. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 477 in the Green Hymnal, Come and Find the Quiet Sinner.
Thank you.
proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. O God, our judge and redeemer, we confess that we have failed in our ministry to others. We listen for teachings to our own liking. We yearn for doctrines that boost our egos. We follow those who flatter us. We seek comfort and not challenge from our confessions of faith. Renew a right spirit within us, O God, and train us in righteousness as you forgive our sins. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. For the truth of the gospel abides in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
It's me, Agnes. How are y'all? What? I couldn't hear you.
Hello, Agnes.
Oh, thank you. Hey, hi, Jessica.
Hi.
What? That didn't sound like you. What's wrong?
Well, I have a cold, and I'm feeling rather sluggish.
Well, is that all? Because you just seem kind of down.
Well, I did something horrible.
You?
Yes.
What'd you do?
Well, Susie at school.
Yeah?
Well, she was wearing last year's shell. Yes, and I felt the need to tell everyone.
You mean to tell me you made fun of that little snail for wearing last year's shell?
Well, yes.
Was that very nice?
No, it was horrible.
Yes, it sure was. That was not very nice. Haven't you ever heard of the Golden Rule?
No, but I do love gold.
I know you do. Let me tell you about the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule goes like this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Speak English, please.
Okay, let me make it more simple for you. It means treat people like you want to be treated.
Oh, so that means since I don't want people making fun of me, then I shouldn't do it to others?
That's exactly right.
Sounds like a good way to live.
It is, but let me tell you something. I've got one that's even better.
Really?
Yes, it's called the Platinum Rule.
Do diamonds come with that?
No diamonds come with it, Jessica. Oh. It's just platinum.
Okay.
Yes, the Platinum Rule goes like this. Since the Golden Rule is do treat people like you want to be treated, the Platinum Rule is this. Treat people better than you want to be treated. Isn't that nice?
Ooh. I think I'd like to live a platinum life.
I think that's best. I think we should pray about it, don't you?
Yes.
Everybody bow your heads. Pray with me. Dear God,
Dear God,
help us.
Help us
to live a platinum life.
To live a platinum life.
Amen. Thanks, God.
Amen. Thank
Bye.
You, God.
Bye, everybody. Now you go out there and do that, okay?
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
See y'all later.
As we listen to the word of the Lord, please join me in the prayer for illumination. God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may be led to your truth and taught your will. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Okay. A reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 27 through 34. Listen for the word of the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will plant the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the offspring of men and of animals, just as I watched over them to uproot and tear down and to overthrow, destroy and bring disaster. So I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days, people will no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Instead, everyone will die for his sin. Whoever eats sour grapes, his own teeth will be set on edge. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made for the forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband with them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, for the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now sing hymn number 668, Wonderful Words of Life.
Thank you.
musical chairs up here. Our second reading today is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verse 5. Listen for the word of the Lord. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord. Well, as I studied the two readings for today, I began to wonder how the two would fit together. Now, I'll tell you my actual intent, for those of you that know, I just spent a week in Colorado, was to meditate in the cool, high altitude, be inspired by the wondrous beauty all around me. Well, it didn't happen. There was the wondrous beauty. There were mountains. There were multicolored leaves. There were antelope. But there were also three preteen teenage girls. There were football games and there were hockey games. So my idea of a meditation just didn't work. In fact, I'll tell you a secret, I began writing this on Thursday in a fourth grade classroom following a tornado drill. But maybe that was the more appropriate setting. When I look at Jeremiah, who lived over 2,000 years ago in 627 BCE, he lived during a time of chaos, a time of warfare. It was a time of change. It was a time of exile. Jeremiah warns the people to turn from their sins and to turn back to God. They had forgotten the God who had led them out of Egypt. But in his writings, in his preachings, Jeremiah gives the first view of the new covenant with God. The time of uprooting and tearing down was going to come to an end, and the time of building up, of planting, was soon to begin. Jesus was coming. As I read the passage from 2 Timothy, two words seemed to jump off the page at me: itching ears. At first, I almost laughed, because this does seem like a funny term to hear in the Bible. But the more I studied the passage, the term actually began to fit both of the readings. Now, I don't know if you've ever had itchy ears before, but I have, and it's a very irritating feeling. Your ears itch and you can't reach to scratch. It's too far down. So you can't reach that spot. You're uncomfortable. So they continue to itch. And the only way to reach the problem is to use an ointment, a gel, or a balm. So how does this relate to my life and my relationship with God? The ways of the world are what cause the itching. God and the Holy Scriptures are the balm which comforts us. In Jeremiah, those itchy ears were hearing the old covenant, which said, "The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge." The old covenant was one of law, one for Israel only. The belief was that the blame for sins could be traced back generations. You blamed your sin on something your grandfather or your father or your mother had done. And there were laws for everything. God had given 10 laws on Mount Sinai, and those 10 had been expanded into over 600. Those itchy ears had added many laws and consequences to those original 10. But still, the itch continued. There was no turning to God for comfort or support. There was no healing ointment. So God tells Jeremiah that his new covenant will be different. The balm was coming. It would not be like the first covenant, which led the Israelites out of Egypt. This one they broke. But this new covenant will be in their minds and written on their hearts. And it would not only be for the Israelites, it would be for the Gentiles, it would be for everyone. It would not be a covenant of law, but a covenant of grace. We celebrate this covenant each time we celebrate the sacrament of communion. The final words of the reading in Jeremiah are the most meaningful to me. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. What more could we ask for? But what do we have to do to get this forgiveness? There's got to be a catch. It can't be that easy. There's got to be some kind of itch. But this is the easiest and perhaps the hardest part. This is God's grace, not our grace. We don't have to do a thing to receive it. It's given to us as a gift from God. This is what is called an unconditional covenant. There are no conditions that we have to meet in order to gain this forgiveness. Our ears will be healed as well as our hearts. There is no more itching or aching. God loves us and God forgives us. Now, this doesn't mean that we do nothing at all. We can't just sit in our recliners with our feet propped up and watch the world go by and think, hey, I'm forgiven. I don't have to do anything. When you receive something that's unimaginably wonderful, you feel that you must do something in return. It gives you the initiative to go forward, to spread the news, to help others get this same feeling. God does not require that you do this. You just feel that you must. But how do we know what to do? Where do we go to get ways to spread this good news? The passage from 2 Timothy guides us. Timothy was a follower of Paul. Timothy was what is called a second generation Christian. He had not been converted from Judaism or from paganism, but had been taught Christianity by his mother and grandmother. He was like us. It was part of his tradition. Paul at the time was in prison and his life was coming to an end. He was writing letters to Timothy in order to give him instructions on how to continue the faith. Paul tells Timothy to continue what he has already learned from infancy. Timothy already knew about this new covenant that Jeremiah taught. He knew he was forgiven, but he also knew that it was his responsibility to pass on this knowledge, just as it had been passed on to him. This is called tradition. And the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Taveyev sings of it. Most of us have learned our beliefs from our families. Stories, rituals, beliefs, customs have been passed down from generation to generation, sometimes with a little twist added each generation. We were told once a story of a family. The young bride was cooking for her family for the first time, her mother-in-law. She's getting ready to make the roast, and as she's getting ready to cook it, the husband says, oh no, you have to cut the end off the roast, because that's the way Mama's always done it. So she says, well, why? He goes, I don't know, Mama always did it that way. So she called her mother-in-law and she says, yes, you have to cut the end off the roast. And so she said, well, why? And the mother says, I don't know, that's how my mother always did it. So finally they call grandmother and they say, why did you cut the end off the roast? And she says, because it wouldn't fit in the pan any other way. So some traditions have a reason, others don't. Our pans were just too little. But Paul is telling Timothy, remember your traditions. Remember to pass them on. If you don't pass them on, then they don't go. So Paul tells Timothy that he was taught by and knows the Holy Scriptures. And it is through these scriptures that God breathes upon us and teaches us. We have a book that tells us how. It's called the Bible. These scriptures equip us for every good work. They're used for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Now this week, most of the world tuned in as the miners in Chile were brought safely above ground. One in particular touched many people. This miner, as he got out of that small tube, fell to his knees in thanksgiving to God. He had been the preacher in the group. It said that each day at midday, he preached a sermon to the miners far underground, and he led the group in prayer. Now these sermons, they recorded them, and it would be interesting to learn what was said. This man, I am sure, came from a lineage of tradition. I would guess that he had also been taught by his mother and his grandmother, the same as Timothy. And this is what Paul was speaking about. Paul is very specific in what he tells Timothy to do. He says, to preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now you can take out the word Timothy and put your name there, and you should be doing the same. Now that doesn't mean you have to stand up here and preach every Sunday. But if you look on your prayer list and you look at our members, your title is minister. There are many ways to get the word out. The miner was a good example. More people learn by seeing what others do instead of listening to what others say. In other words, your actions are going to speak much louder than your words. Think about it. Does your life and your actions preach what is in the Bible? Do they show that you are a Christian all day, every day, and not just for 1 or 2 hours a week? You don't have to quote scripture. You can put it into your own language and tell the stories to those who haven't heard them. But remember, in order to do this, you have to know the stories. And in order to know the stories, you have to know the Bible. Read the Bible in many formats. There are so many translations available now. And in fact, a new one is supposed to be coming out in November. One of my favorite translations is the Bible that's called The Word Made Fresh. It is a translation of the Bible by a man from Kerrville named Andy Eddington. I was lucky enough to have met Andy several years ago. He wrote this version of the Bible when he was asked to by prisoners serving on death row in Huntsville. They told him that they couldn't read. Some of them could read not at all. Others were reading at a very low level. And they just couldn't read those big words in the Bible. And they said, when you tell the stories, we can understand them. Can you write us a Bible like that? And so Andy did. He knew that their ears were itching to hear and understand and read for themselves the Word of God. So he translated this Bible at about a third or a fourth grade level. And instead of using the long biblical names, he used place names from Texas. He uses Bubba and Joe and Sam and Sally. These were things that these men would understand. So the meaning of the stories all stay the same, but the men were able to grasp the ideas when the places and the names made sense to them. You must be familiar with the scriptures in order to teach them. There are study books, there are study groups, there are internet explanations, there is Sunday school, there are television programs, and we could go on and on. We are not at a loss for finding places to do a Bible study. Paul then tells Timothy that he is to be ready in season and out of season, and I didn't understand what that meant, so I looked it up. What it means is he is to be always ready to serve God in any situation, whether or not it is convenient. Be sensitive to the opportunities that God gives you. There are many times when it would be much easier to just ignore the situation, and unfortunately, many times I do, than to go forward and serve God and not just my own comfort. There are also times when you must tell someone that he or she is not right, that their belief is not what God says, or that what they are doing is wrong. This is hard for me. I don't like conflict. I'd rather things just go along real easy. I don't like to rock the boat. But God tells me that this is my responsibility. I must make sure that everyone, including myself and starting with myself, is doing what is acceptable in the eyes of God. But notice that right after that, Paul says we are to encourage, to give people hope and praise. And all of these must be done with great patience and careful instructions. We have to treat others as if they were newborns. Their ears are itching, but they're not always comprehending. We must have patience. I once received a plaque that said, "Lord, give me patience and hurry." Most times, your teaching, your telling, will not stick the first time, or the second, or the third. It takes much repetition and careful instruction. Think before you speak. Think about your words. Think about your actions. How will they affect the person that you were working with? And all these instructions are for a reason. Because now Paul warns that a time is coming when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will only hear what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn from the truth and turn to myths. Well, I believe that time has come. And I'm guessing that for several generations before me, others have felt the same way. Itching ears want to be eased. And if what they hear is a myth and it sounds better than scripture, then that's what they'll believe, the myth. Our job is to make sure that the holy scriptures are told and taught and are the balm that reaches the itching ears. Paul's last sentence in our reading was addressed to Timothy, but it is so true to us today. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is what needs to be written on our hearts and in our minds. God gives us grace and forgiveness in the new covenant, and we are to pass on this wonderful news to all. That is our charge. That is our duty. That is our balm to itching ears. Amen. And now let us stand and say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed found on page 14 in the blue hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Please join me in the prayers of the people. Loving God, open our hearts and minds that we may feel the breath and play of your Spirit. God, our Creator, our ground of being, our counselor and companion, we thank you for the blessings of life, for those who are dear to us, for those who have died, and for all who have helped and influenced us. Thank you for the gift of life which bursts forth in connections with the awesome diversity of creation and through those who enrich our experience. Thank you for sustenance and wisdom as we reach out, touch, and are healed. You have made humanity rich with diversity. Help us not to be afraid of that diversity, but to revel in it while also being one through you. Lead us to end hatred, prejudice, war, and poverty. Teach us to unother one another. Maker of heaven and earth, we are in awe of Scripture. You have inspired it and have made it useful for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to you may be proficient, equipped for every good work. When Scripture is disturbing or difficult to understand, keep us persistent. Maker of heaven and earth, we have many ways of interpreting Scripture. Grant us the patience and humility to respect each other's differences and to focus on being one in you. It is easy to lose heart. Help us to be patient and persistent. Pick us up when we fall down. Merciful God, you heal us. Heal everyone in need this hour, including those we mention now in our hearts. Encourage us with the Holy Spirit to be your healing assistant. Lord of Israel, we place these prayers in your hands, confident that you will hear and heal us. And now let us pray the prayer that Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
With gratefulness and thanksgiving, let us return to God our tithes and offerings. Let's pray. Source of all goodness, power, and strength, we come with gifts in response to your love. You pour out your goodness, we bring you thanksgiving. You infuse us with power, we offer the fruits of our labor. You sustain us with strength, all that we do, we dedicate to your glory. Honor us and bless those endeavors which are a testimony to your abiding grace. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 560. I love to tell the story.